Time, and I don't know about you, I've been looking, I've had a pretty busy year. I'm looking forward to this holiday season and all the fellowship we can have. Is James Martinez here tonight? Would you stand up, James? James, 2 weeks ago I had a word of knowledge that God was canceling someone's death sentence. James had been diagnosed with colon cancer. He received prayer that Sunday, went back to his doctors the next week who pronounced him cancer-free. Jesus Christ is the cure for cancer. Amen. Jesus Christ is the cure for cancer. The title of my message tonight is Joel Osteen is Not a Heretic. It's time for a call to unity in the body of Christ. It's time for us as God's people to stop waging a war against anyone we have a doctrinal disagreement with. It's time for the church to stop shooting our wounded with condemnation and criticism. It's time. Just turn to someone and say, it's time. In Christianity, a heretic, you know, because of the internet now, the ether is filled with so much information. And really, there's really a lot of inappropriate things that are said and done by Christians. And I feel like the Lord is wanting to touch our hearts and to share his heart with us. And to realign us with his purpose. It's hard to win a game when you're fighting against people on the same side on your team. In Christianity, historically, a heretic or heresy is defined by a person or doctrine that believed that Jesus was not the Christ and that salvation did not come through Jesus Christ, or secondly, that the Bible is not the inspired and infallible word of God. Those two things are the hinge points of major belief systems. So anybody in the world that has received Christ Jesus as their Savior is in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter what other beliefs they have or where they've come from, what they do know or what they don't know. And that's called the body of Christ universal, the body of Christ worldwide. And so a lot of people, because they hear something or read something or someone has said this on the internet about, for example, Joel Osteen. I'm not talking about him tonight. Forgive me, Pastor Joel. You're my metaphor. But a lot of things, because I happen to know him a little bit and found him to be, when I prayed over Joel last time I prayed, he dropped to his knees and started crying. He's one of the most humble people I've ever met. He loves Jesus, and no one in America is winning more people monthly to Jesus than him. Now, why in the world? Well, Pastor, Oprah said this or said he did this on TV. He may have made mistakes. Like anybody, like with the bright light shining on you 24/7 camp. But Joel Osteen is not a heretic. He loves Jesus. He preaches salvation. They water baptize. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believe in the local church. They believe in the word of God. And so on the main issues, he's dead center in the core of evangelical, biblical Christianity. So Joel Osteen is not a heretic, neither is T.D. Jakes, neither is Joyce Meyer, neither is Joseph Prince, neither is Rick Warren. These are wonderful people doing a great work of God. And so we have to stop assassinating our leaders and people that are accomplishing things. So there are heretics in the world today. There is false doctrine. There is real heresy. It's leading millions and billions of people to hell. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. I could go on and on. There's an antichrist spirit. That's really happening out there. But you wouldn't know it because so many of the church are obsessed with someone who disagrees with them in the church. Y'all with me still? My first point is this. We have a real enemy. His name is Satan. He has an army of demons. It's time for the body of Christ to stop fighting each other and recognize and fight our real enemy, the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So we have to be alert, sober, in tune, spiritually awakened, because the enemy is in a 24/7 mode looking for victims, looking for victims. Now, one of the things we have to shift, this must change. The wineskins of the church are changing. And the old wineskin, which was based on a denominational wineskin, and the old wineskin, the priority of belonging to that wineskin, their most important thing in their dominant culture, was doctrinal purity and doctrinal agreement. So churches and denominations and groups were formed around a conformity, an agreement to a set line of doctrine. But in the kingdom of God, the most dominant priority and the culture is love. So in the kingdom of God, you can be with people that aren't as doctrinally as perfect as you. I've been doing this so long, I've been doing this a long time. Here's what I found out. The more we walk with Christ, the more perfected our understanding of God is, the more our theology changes. So we have to be careful about waging war against someone who has a different theology because we think we have the right theology. Let's just be, a real miracle is happening in Phoenix, and it's with a group of churches. And these churches, they're all large churches. They asked me to be a part of it, so I'm a part of this group of 30 or so churches. And across Arizona. And there's 4 or 5 of us that are Pentecostal, charismatic, the majority of them are evangelical. Now, it's a miracle that these guys who grew up in churches where their pastors preached to them every Sunday, speaking in tongues is from the devil. Or people that speak in tongues have mental, intellectual deficiencies, or it's fantasy. Or that. So they grew up with that, but here we are sitting at the same table. They call me brothers. I had a meeting scheduled today with a bunch of them. So it's God's bringing us together even though they don't shandalasiki like me. And I don't look down my nose at them and say, man, you guys are just, I can't believe you don't talk in tongues. I don't despise them because they're not Pentecostal. And they don't criticize me, at least in public, for being charismatic. Okay? Now that's so important. Because we're on the same team. Phoenix can't be won when churches are waging war against each other and not the devil. So I'll give you a little example. Here's a little example of church silliness. So in the Bible, in the Gospels, one Gospel says to be baptized, people are baptized in water in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Another Gospel says, two other Gospels say, be baptized in the name of Jesus. So entire denominations have split because they fought over the name of Jesus or the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is a really stupid thing to split over. Well, Pastor, how do you baptize here? Here's what I told my guys. Here's how we baptize. We baptize you in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Keeping everybody happy. It's going to be right. Okay, so here's what Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 18. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He was kicked, dethroned, removed from heaven, lost his place, lost his power. Behold, I give you the body of Christ, believers in Christ, filled with the Spirit. I give you authority. Everybody shout authority. So we have authority. The policeman can pull you over, even if your car is faster than him. Even if you're bigger and stronger than him, because they have authority by the state to enforce the law. And God's given you heavenly authority to enforce heaven's jurisdictional power, the conquest of hell, the expansion of the kingdom, the healing of the broken in the name of Jesus. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, describing in this pronoun description who Satan is. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's what I say. If it ain't good, it ain't God. The fingerprints of God are never on the evil things that happen in this world. Be not deceived, James said. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Okay, so the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So we have to remind ourselves, last scripture about this first point, Luke chapter 11, Jesus was casting out a devil, and so when he was doing it, some of the leaders said he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others testing him asked for a sign. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 11 says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. Y'all with me? Them Baptists, two streets up, I love them Baptists because they built this campus. Amen. Thank God for Baptists. Thank God for Baptists. If I didn't speak in tongue, I'd be a Baptist. We're on the same team. On the same team. You with me? My friend Mark Buckley up the street. On the same team. Working together. A house divided falls. A house divided falls. We have to grasp this. Because we can't overcome the great tidal wave of wickedness that's spewing out of the bowels of hell in this last day moment unless we are one. If Satan is divided against himself, verse 18, how shall his kingdom stand? And so he said, you know, if I'm by Beelzebub casting out demons, it says, Jesus said, that doesn't make sense. Okay? And he goes on to say, verse 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him, overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. I love that. Jesus said, you're stronger than the devil. So Jesus told Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom of God. These keys to bind, these keys to loose. And the gates of hell should not prevail against the church that uses the keys to prevail against Satan's assaults, okay? So Jesus said, last line, he who is not with me is against me. And so Jesus said, there are people engaged. Another time the disciples came to him and said, hey, we found a guy casting out demons in your name. We told him to stop because he didn't belong to our church. Jesus said, hey, you got it wrong. He's on our team. He's on our side. He's accomplishing the will of God, the work of God. Okay, second point. Satan is always the author of accusation and division. Oh, always. We have too many doctrinal deputies and preaching police and heresy hunters that feel like they're called to correct, criticize, and condemn fellow believers whose doctrine disagrees with theirs. This is just so important because some of the most mean-spirited people I've ever encountered felt empowered to wage a war against me because I had a different doctrine or a different angle on the doctrine or different belief. So the kingdom of God never empowers people to do evil. A religious spirit does. And people that have a religious spirit frowning on their face, angry preachers, angry members, think they're, you know, serving God. I feel bad for all of them. You know, hypocrites are welcome at CFTN, so are angry religious preachers. Anybody's welcome here because we're a hospital for all of us. Amen. We're a grace puddle. We're getting better by grace, by love, by mercy, by his word, his kingdom, his spirit. So, but we have to, as the body of Christ, start understanding there's an implication, and it's powerful. So we have the Muslim world acting like one in many of its places, and now the progressive, the liberal wing of humanitarian or humanistic, there it is, humanistic philosophy is rising up and has a real core set of beliefs. And yet when it comes to the church, where it's like, hey, you know, fighting against them, losing the country. It's like we're a rescue boat, and we pulled up, and there's a whole bunch of people drowning. A ship is sunk, and they're paddling madly in the water. And we've come there, and we're on the boat rescuing what's the best, or fighting, arguing about the best technique to save someone. You're doing it all wrong. I promise you, when someone's rescued, they don't think the person that rescued them did it wrong. Amen. Some people get born again reading a tract. Amen. You know, that's not my favorite way of witnessing to people. But man, if it works, it works. Who cares? There's no perfect way. Jesus, the methodology of Christ was massively different on almost every encounter he had with people. Why? Because there's no perfect way. There's a perfect God. So our methods. So Proverbs 6 says this: the Lord hates six things, seven things that are abomination to him. Proud look, a lying tongue, Proverbs 6, 16. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. Last point, one who sows discord among the brethren. One who sows discord among the brethren. So have you ever had anybody just pick a fight with you about doctrine or belief or what church you go through or go to, and just over nonsense? So while Christians are fighting, the world is drowning. All the sea is filled with drowning souls, and we're fighting on the boat about who's right, the right way of doing it. And we just got to change. James chapter 4, do not speak, verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He that speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, Joel Osteen's a heretic. Just a couple of points. It says, I don't know how it happened. I don't remember exact moment. I don't think there was. When I was a boy, the fear of God got into me. I think just having really spectacular and just overtly supernatural encounters with God as a young child, I had this fear of God. So there are some things I don't even think about doing. One of them, I just never talk about preachers. It's not just because it's my vocation and I'm protective. No, you're kidding me? The most critical people of preacher are preachers. It's because if that guy or that gal is called of God and I'm attacking them, God takes it personal. Or what if they're wrong? Well, that's God's problem. What if they're preaching a wrong doctrine? That's God's problem too. Now, if it's severe enough to hurt the church, we will correct it, we will adjust it, we'll talk about it. But most of this, like another thing, so there's a whole avalanche now. They call it the prosperity heresy, the doctrine of prosperity. But the Bible's filled with teaching about God blessing people so they can be a blessing to others. Now, of course, that's different between being covetous, being greedy. But the Bible says that. And so it is comical that in the wealthiest, the greatest, the most prosperous nation in the history of nations, we let that stupid doctrine float around the church. Well, they preach the prosperity. Well, they just preach. Where's where they preach? If you give, God will give back to you. Amen. I started my church 30 years ago. Pastor in town came to me. He says, Pastor, you need to stop preaching that Jesus heals everybody and Jesus wants to prosper everybody. And I said, what? Why? He said, because I had a sinus and I asked the Lord to heal me. He didn't heal me. So let me get this right. We're going to rewrite the scriptures because something didn't work for you. And the second thing he said, God doesn't want to bless. And then he said, I just want enough for me and my family. It sounded so pious. I go, well, that sounds kind of cool. The moment he said that, I'm 27, the Holy Spirit comes upon me. Here's what I said. I want enough money to build 1 million orphanages. I want enough money to feed 100 million. If God gave me $1 billion, I could spend it in 3 months. Y'all with me? Because it's not about me. It's about what God can do through me. So don't judge your brother. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Who are you to judge another? Okay. Message by version. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring to the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge in deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are meddling in the destiny of others? Proverbs 29:22. Angry people stir up a lot of discord. Proverbs 13:10. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord. You got perfect doctrine? Well, good for you. God bless you. I believe in theology. I sat down at my desk with no books and wrote a 200-page theological book. I got a lot of theology in me. Supposed to be 50 pages long. It's 200 pages long, called Elements. I sat down and wrote that. Just my Bible open, my Bible in my mind. I got a lot of doctrine in me. I'm not against doctrine. I believe in good doctrine. I just believe that God loves people even when they got goofy doctrine. And our problem is not to disassociate from people just because there's a disharmony of doctrine. Man, if tonight, if the only thing that kept us together in this room tonight was that we perfectly agreed on everything, there would be no one left. I'd be preaching to myself.
Well, I see I'm preaching to myself. Yes, you are. Well, self, apparently only you and I have perfect doctrine. That's right, brother, preach it.
It'd be pretty miserable, pretty empty. Y'all with me? Now, if Joel or somebody denied these people that I know, if he stood up and said, you know, I believe there are many ways to Christ, or if he said, I don't believe in heaven or hell, I don't believe, if he said something that really is, a heresy, that's different, but they're not saying that. Joyce Meyer doesn't say that. T.D. Jakes doesn't say that. Okay? Or whoever else. Well, I heard Rick Warren is becoming a Muslim. Just stop reading the internet. Everything you read on the internet is true. Signed, Abraham Lincoln. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. Here's Jesus. It's in red in the Bible. Judge not, lest you be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. What measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and don't consider the plank in your own eyes? It's a truism about life. We hate in others what we hide in us. Okay? It's just a simple reality of psychology, of human behavior. It's, I don't like that about you. There's something in you. How can we say to our brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank in your own eye, and then you'll see more clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. The Message version, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults, unless, of course, you'd like the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging, so that's really a truism, amen? What did Christ say? Blessed are the merciful. Why? They shall obtain mercy. You have to get this. The way you treat people shapes and forms the way God's going to allow people to treat you. Okay, here's my best point. It's going to get positive. And Joel Olson says, amen. Big smile. Third point, God's will for his church is unity. Amen, fellowship, a bunch of fellows in a ship. We are in this thing together. Unity comes through the kingdom culture of love, not by having perfect doctrine or complete doctrinal agreement. So there's real heresy in the world. Farrakhan, whatever his name is, just had called 1 million people to Washington, D.C., kind of preaches this mixture of Islam, and that's a false prophet. In America, a real one, 1 million people came. There are real false prophets all over the place, but the dudes I just talked about ain't them. So here's what Jesus said. Jesus, these are his last words, recording his last sermon before the cross. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, John 17, but I pray for those that you've given me, for they are yours. And all are mine are yours. Yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. He's talking to the Father. Now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those that you've given me, that they may be one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, those you gave me I've kept. None of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You sent me to the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. I pray not for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. He's pouring out his heart. He said, God, let the church be one. Let the church be one. As you, Father, verse 21 of John 17, as you, Father, and I in me, and are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory that you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just like we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and I've loved them as you've loved me. Wow. The prayer of Christ, four times, the theme of the prayer of Christ. So he's leaving. This is his big ask. He's leaving. He's leaving the earth. He's getting ready for the cross. He's getting ready for the ascension. He's getting ready for, you know, everything. And he says, here's what I want. Dad, Daddy, God, help them to be one. Help them to be one, that they may become perfect in one. Paul's describing the body of Christ. He described it like a body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, you know, a body has many members, but it's one body. Wouldn't it be funny if I'm talking right near and my nose just popped off and started crawling away? I'd say, excuse me, I have to retrieve my nose. It's doing its own thing. Or if my ear popped out, say, I don't like this body. You with me? Or my feet said, man, you got to lose some weight. We're quitting. Just left. You with me? So we're all, the body of Christ is all this beautiful, distinct, different, unique people and giftings and races and cultures and age, all these beautiful things, and God's put it all together, and the Lord wants us to learn to function like one. Amen. I know this message mostly isn't for CFTN people or just radical lovers of Jesus, and most of you like Joel Osteen, but a whole bunch of people I'm talking to, this message is going out, it's going to go viral, people are going to get all over the place. I'm going to step on, they have to snap out of it. Because Jesus said, let's be one. Well, I don't think I could be one. You know, it was really funny. So God starts visiting America in the 60s, and he begins with a bunch of Catholics. And so, you know, for about 3 decades, the Pentecostal church had preached the Catholic church was Babylon. You know, many of them preached the Pope was the Antichrist. And next thing you know, a bunch of the millions of Catholics are kila masi kumuta, talking in tongues. And the church is going, oh, I don't think that, how can you pray to Mary and talk in tongues? Now, it's biblically unscriptural to pray to Mary, to pray to a saint. That's not in the Bible. It's a doctrine that they've raised to the equivalency of Bible. That's wrong, but Jesus still saves. There are hundreds of millions of Christians in Catholicism, and millions of them are spirit baptized. You with me? So that means they're my brothers and sisters, even if they do some goofy stuff. I know charismatics don't do goofy stuff. Amen. I know we don't fall down. We don't wave flags. We had to stop tambourines because we record our services. It was interfering on our sound quality. We just said, I'm resigning if you don't stop tambourines. Okay, no more tambourines. It's affecting the recording. So we do all, we have our own little system of things we believe and things, but none of that's important. What is important is Jesus. What is important is reaching a lost world. What is important is being united in those efforts. Jesus said, Father, here's my big prayer. I know you'd give me anything I ask for. Here's what I want. I want your kids to get along. One of the happiest things I know that people that have, when you have adult kids, it's really satisfying when they like each other as adults. So it makes me so happy that my adult kids get together without even Mary are there. So they like spending time with each other. It makes me happy because if they were at war with each other, they're all my kids. I can't pick a side. And it's heartbreaking if your children are fighting with each other. Now, when they were little, I'd stop it. I'm pulling this car over, taking off my belt. You better stop fighting about that. I'll give you something to fight about. So you're going to get along whether you want to or not. Tell your sister you love her. I tell your sister you love her. I love you. So we had unity. It wasn't heartfelt, but at least it was pretense. At least that was happy. So now I'm happy as they're all adults. And I don't have to pull the car over anymore. They're getting along good. So I'm going to talk in a couple more weeks more about unity. But so get it. Unity is power. Deuteronomy, Moses is talking, and he said, how can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Didn't say 2,000. There was a multiplier there, a force multiplier. He said, when two come together, there's an exponential authority. They go 10 times stronger. Remember Jesus said, here's what Jesus said three times. If any two of you agree on earth on anything, he said, it'll be a miracle. Now, he said, anything that you ask the Father, he gives it to you. That's a big, awesome. My wife and I found out we waged war at the very beginning against strife in our home. We just weren't going to have it because we're doing too much. We have too much at stake with our children, our ministry, our life, our destiny. So we do things together. And so we have power because we have agreement. But we really learn when you raise kids, you know, children are born with a PhD in psychology. So you got four kids. They all did the same thing. Our dad, mom said I could do this. I said, really? You know, I know your mother quite well. I'm not sure she's actually said that. Let me ask her. Oh, never mind. The children were trying to find any kind of gap. That's what happens today. Hey, Pastor, what? Well, Pastor down the street, he said you're ugly.
Really? Well, who is he to talk about being ugly? He's lost his hair, for God's sake. What's going on here?
People say something. That's what, I just read something about Joel Osteen. Really? On the internet. Of course, you can believe everything you read on the internet. Abe Lincoln said so. We can't let stuff divide us. We can't let stuff break our agreement. And let's make, I feel like part of my mission as I get older, and some far off date, is to help bring unity to the body of Christ. You all with me? So I've built a bunch of bridges to just wonderful evangelical leaders in town. Guys that don't have the same beliefs concerning the gifts of the Spirit as we do, and or the practice. But here's what they found. They like me because I'm a humble charismatic. See, if we can be like Jesus, if we can be loving, if we can be lowly, if we can be humble, kind. So my wife started crying, so I ministered. Of course, I listen, a great ministry here in town is the Phoenix Dream Center. And this morning I had the privilege of ministering to leaders down there for a couple hours and just prophesied over anybody was that wanted it. It was just awesome. And what a great ministry right here in Phoenix. So Pastor Judy, Elaine, we have some awesome people in our church that serve there on a volunteer basis. Most of the workers do. Just a great ministry, man. Who cares that it's not a CFTN ministry? We were looking for something to buy downtown and open a place for addictive treatment and to reach out to especially to people fighting addiction. And Teen Challenge approached us, hey, we'd like CFTN to be our home church. So we canceled our plans about starting something like Teen Challenge because Teen Challenge is awesome. So we just support Teen Challenge. Amen. I'm not Assembly of God. I don't care what they are. Y'all with me? The best dogs I ever had as a kid were mutts. What kind of dog is that? Well, he's got a little bit of that, little bit of that, little bit of that, little bit of that. I think a little bit of this too. That's why I describe my Christianity. I was raised Lutheran, went to Foursquare Seminary, was ordained as Assembly God youth pastor, have pastored now at the church. I'm president of Church Rock International. What are you, pastor? I'm just a mutt. A little bit of everything, amen, but very loyal and friendly. Rough, rough. So Jesus said, Father, they can change the world if they can stop fighting against each other. Jesus is talking very kindly to Peter. He's prepping him for some stuff. Peter would have a few weeks of difficulty. He's talking to him, and Peter says, well, you know, they're one-on-one. Across the room was John. Peter says, what about him? Jesus said, what about him? What has he got to do with you? Amen. That 20 years ago, we had bad things happen to us and, you know, just massacred my life in so many ways. And so I kept saying to God, God, I live better than most preachers I know. I love my wife. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, I know that guy down the street's having an affair. How come he's not in the press? That doesn't go over big with God. You know what I mean? What about him? I'm better than him. Can't believe. So much. And so the root cause, now the friction inside of us concerning things, we if we really dig down deep, a lot of it's insecurity or jealousy. A lot of it's, you know, wrong placed anger or venom, and God just wants to help us. So, anyways, I was prophesying over the Bethel worship team in Atlanta, and there's some real dramatic things happened, and which we are grateful for. It's the Holy Spirit. To get the prophecy is from the Holy Spirit. So whenever someone says, "Oh, Pastor, you know that was awesome what you did," and I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit did it. I just was glad to be there and watch Him do it." And so the Stephanie girl said something that really touched Mary and I. She said, you know, that's the kindest ministry of prophecy we've ever received, we've ever seen. I'd rather be known for kindness than accuracy or powerful prophecy because Jesus is a pretty cool guy and he was kind to people. Amen? No, I like watching God do miracles. I was prophesying to an African-American lady I never met before, and I said, you know, 10 years ago, a trauma came into your world. God's going to heal you from it. So afterwards, she tells me, well, 10 years ago, this year, my husband died suddenly. And then I said, 3 years ago, death came to take you, but the Lord stopped you. She said, 3 years ago, I had a suicide attempt. This is a professional woman of some achievement. She said, I was so demoralized. I was sitting there halfway through killing myself, and something just stopped me. And then I looked at her little, she had a six-year-old daughter, and I said, your daughter is the gift of language and communication. And that's a pretty powerful word for a six-year-old. So afterwards, she tells me, my daughter is in her third year of Chinese. Wow. Wasn't that, yeah, I felt stupid. I took 3 years of Spanish and can't say one sentence in Spanish. God, help us to be one. And Lord, I pray for anyone that's here watching or here's the future. I would be as bad as a critic if I wage war against critics. I'm just telling people with a critical spirit it's wrong. I invite you lovingly, kindly to change. I invite you to not cause divisions, schisms, to not, the devil's called the accuser of the brethren. An accuser of brethren was in a phrase they would use in the synagogue when someone would stand up in the middle of the synagogue and accuse someone of a sin. So really, the accuser of the brethren sometimes functions in the church. So if God, well, Pastor, you know, what if someone's living in sin? What about it? Pray for them. Love them. Help them. Lovingly share with them. The Bible says if someone's backslidden, you that are spiritual, go to them in a spirit of gentleness, seeking to restore them. Yeah, we want to help people. We want to reach people. But we don't want to participate. We don't want to be on the wrong side of heaven. Amen. Every time you criticize someone, you empower the devil to hurt them. And I don't know about you. I got enough going on in my life. I don't want to contribute to someone else's struggle. Amen. Lord, help us to be one. Thank you for the, first of all, there's such a beautiful spirit at CFTN. I'm very grateful for the love that's here, really, the culture of love that's here. Forgive us, God. I think everyone can pray this prayer. God, forgive us for being critical of anyone, people in the past, or someone we made a snap judgment of, a simplistic and mostly untrue criticism of, and it doesn't even matter if it's true, it's wrong, true or false, to judge and criticize. Give them to God. So forgive us, God, for being critical or condemning of anyone. And we ask, God, that you would make us like you. So every single day of the year, I pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me with your nature. Fill me with love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. Fill us, God, with your fruit, your love, and your care for people. And make us instruments, like you said, blessed are the peacemakers. Make us instruments of healing, restoration, and peace to a broken, hurting world, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, would you stand your feet with me? Prayer team, would you come down front, please? And so ends my message. Joel Osteen is not a heretic. People were hoping for more fireworks, but that was it. No slideshows. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your love, your kindness, your faithfulness. You are just so good. We honor you, we celebrate you, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just lift your hands to heaven for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and praise you, God. I was sitting in my car like 17 years ago, and someone came to me and used to go to my church. They said, He said, "Hey, pastor over here from the big church is talking about you and preaching against you in this pulpit." So here's what I actually did. They're talking to me. I said, can you step back a little bit? So I got out of the car. When I got out of the car, I kind of towered over him. I think he was afraid for a moment. And then right there in a public street, I started jumping up and down for joy. I refused to let someone else's criticism affect my walk with Christ or make me their enemy. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people speak wrong things about you." Now, here's the punchline. That dude and I are close friends today. Because I've chosen to forgive. Amen. Chosen to walk in love and chosen to be united. God, help us to get that right. Amen. Ryan, let's sing something as we kind of prepare our hearts for closing.
My heart is the wick.
Your love
is the flame. And I want to burn for your name.
Beautiful. Come on, sing it.
My heart is the wick.
Your love is the flame.
And I want to burn.
Listen, we're going to keep worshiping as we close. I want to invite anyone that wants prayer tonight. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come and receive the gift of God's grace and love, the forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, or come back to God. If you're hurting in your heart, your life, or your body in any way, just like God healed James, if you need a miracle, we'd love to pray for you. If you're going through a tough time and say, Pastor, I just need someone to stand with me in prayer, we'd love to pray for you. Anyone wanting prayer, come on down forward. We're going to pray for you.
For your
hey, if you don't have to rush that, would you do this one thing with me? Would you find someone close to you? And let's just take a moment praying for each other. Just one-on-one, find someone. We're going to pray down front for anyone that needs prayer. But if you wouldn't mind, hey, ask your neighbor, hey, is anything you want me to pray with you about? And if you don't have anything to pray about, pray for your pastor, pray for our church, pray for there's 1,000 things going on here that we need prayer about. Find someone and just take a moment to pray before we leave and just... let's find agreement, let's express love, and let's support each other in prayer.
never be the same. I'll never be the same. In your love, I'll never be the same again. You've rooted me in your love. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. You have rooted me in your love. I'll never be the same again. Rooted me in your love. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. You have rooted me in your love.